Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, we have got a feedback episode. Things that you've been talking about, we're going to talk about. So let's talk about it.
Woo!
Right out of this ad, we have no control over.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name is Matthew Carroll.
And I'm Jeff Randall.
As we do every week, we're going to start with a five-star review. What we got this week, Jeff?
Best podcast by T-Nozzle. Mm. You guys are so dope. I'm new to listening to you guys, but went back all the way to Infinity War shows and almost all caught up. Keep up the great work, guys. Matt, I'm liking our little debate on Facebook about Spidey 3 and Sinister 6.
Yeah. That was fun. Yeah, T-Nozzle, which I've never been called dope by someone named T-Nozzle before. That made me feel cool.
Yeah, feels legit.
It does feel legit. We're having a good time on the MCU Cast chat group. If you haven't found it, search MCU Cast, all one word, chat on Facebook, and you should be able to find our chat group. And I'll post it on their Facebook page again too. So it's just, you know, there's like it seems like it's basically just a lot of people who actually listen to the show, and so it's a lot of people who are just like having conversations about the show and the stuff that we talk about here, and it's a lot of fun and bringing up things we don't always have time to talk about here, but we're just getting like deep and nerdy and having fun. So
and bringing up the fact that I don't have time to talk about things on there.
Yeah. Oh, and something we announced on there yesterday. We are thinking we're going to name this podcast Network that we are starting, because me and Jeff have been doing this for a while. I've started a few. We're about to start another podcast early next year. So we're thinking about calling the podcast Network Stranded Panda. I have justifications for why we're calling it that, but I kind of don't want to tell everybody, at least right away. I kind of want to hear you guys' reactions to Stranded Panda. So if you have a strong or averse reaction to Stranded Panda, let us know. If you like it, let us know that too. We're just trying to collate data and make sure we're not making some horrible mistake that we don't realize or something.
If you're indifferent, let us know that too.
Yeah, before we like buy websites and stuff, it'd be nice to know if there's anything weird. So let us know. Stranded Panda is our podcast network as of right now. I'm really excited about it. I like the name a lot. It has really cute imagery. We've been working on some imagery for it, and I just like the way it sounds. Stranded Panda. It has like a beautiful number of consonants. I don't know.
It has like a non-matching rhyme to it.
Yeah, Stranded Panda. Like it has that whole. Yeah, I agree. I like it. Stranded Panda. We're gonna do that. Let us know if you have any thoughts. But today we're diving into feedback, so let's jump right into that. Well, how are you doing, Jeff? I feel like I didn't ask how you doing.
Man, I'm so tired. I had to go to Fort Lauderdale this week for work to be on site with a client, and I had to be there all week, and my boss went too, and basically we had to do meetings literally all day and then take that information that we learned in the meetings back to our hotel and sit there until at least 10:30 at night working on, you know, building that or putting together that data into a set of decisions and some rational summaries and, you know, building out a solution for these people. So I'm exhausted.
Man, that sounds utterly exhausting. I don't even understand half of it, but I I applaud that, and thanks for working so hard, and thanks for making time for the cast anyway this week. We normally try to do it earlier in the week, but Jeff literally had to work basically all day every day this week, so.
Yep.
Really glad we're getting to fit one in on Saturday. Well, let's dive into feedback, my friend.
Alrighty, sir. So we got J. Scotty St. Clair hit us up on Twitter at MCUcast. Seems like an appropriate time for a Marvel Television In Memoriam episode. Thoughts?
It absolutely seems like an appropriate time. And I guess we can make a miniature one right here and just say it's been a good run. I would love to do a full, like, maybe we could do like a top 10 Marvel TV moments or something like that. Maybe we'll do that after Runaways, which we need to cover next week.
we also need to watch that.
Yes. So we got to find time to watch that so we can do Runaways, but which will be, in its own way, a, Viking funeral for,
itself.
The Marvel TV division. Although hopefully it won't be a fire, like whatever. I'm not saying it's going to be a dumpster fire. I'm saying that it'll be a send off.
You know, the initial reviews, the initial word is that so far it's really good.
That's great. I'm glad, and I'm really excited about the Cloak and Dagger connection. So we're that just came out as we're recording, like yesterday, I think, or the day before, and so we're going to try to watch that. I think what we're going to do is we're going to break it down into 2 weeks. We're going to watch the first five for next week and watch the next five for the next week if we can pull that off.
Totally.
Yeah. seems doable.
I mean, I've only got more remote meetings all day.
Oh, but do
I don't
you
think I should have to do
this week?
I don't think I should have to do night work.
Good.
Plus, I mean, I'm coming up to Birmingham next weekend.
Yeah. Oh, man. I feel like we should do a cast together, like maybe a live stream or something.
Like old times?
Yeah. Like old times. Yeah, we'll try to announce if we do something like that. Jeff's going to be in Birmingham, so we'll be in the same city, which is very rare. So we might do some sort of live stream or something and talk to you guys. That would be fun. That would be much fun.
We could do our In Memoriam episode together. As we, you know, the same way that we did our beginning of it episode.
Oh, shit.
Together.
You're right. Let's do our In Memoriam to the TV division episode while taking a shot for each of our points.
We'll take a shot for each episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. No,
that's a bad idea. Dead. No, we'll do like our top 10 points and, yeah. Do some sort of shot ranking. Maybe we'll do a shot every time we have the same moment or something like that. That sounds like a fun way to spend an afternoon, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And then after we get just plastered there, we go do an escape room.
Yes. All right. Well, that sounds like a plan. I'm glad we talked this through. Thank you for writing in about the In Memoriam episode, J. Scott. J. Scotty, because that led us to a good place. We're gonna send it off in that sort of grand tradition of drinking our sadness away.
It's like an Irish funeral.
Yeah, sure. I didn't know if that was considered a racist term or not, so I didn't use it.
Okay, it's like a drunken funeral.
There you go. See, that's what I said. I was being culturally aware. I don't
okay,
know.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I don't know. I don't know if that's a... I don't know. Can we still...
it's not okay to just
going somewhere,
blanket
going
somewhere. Sweep call Irish people drunk.
Yeah. No. It's definitely not okay. But you know how like certain... It sucks. And I'm not saying it's okay, but certain terms and certain... are okay until they aren't. And then all of a sudden they turn on a dime and they're no longer okay. So I'm just being sensitive to that. So yeah. All right. What's our next piece of feedback now that we've probably gotten ourselves in trouble?
Yep. We got Reco Jets feedback question. Following the cancellation of all MCU quote-unquote shows, the fact that we were very much led to believe that those shows would all be very connected to the movies, and looking back, I think we can all agree we were bamboozled. And then with such a large gap of time between Spider-Man Far From Home and Black Widow, is it fair to be upset with Marvel for lack of content over the last several months and months to come? I mean, it doesn't seem to me that having a series that started on Disney Plus almost immediately, like The Mandalorian, would have been that hard. It could have even been something out of real canon, like What If, but as it is, it's almost an entire year between any real content.
So, I think we have a lot of reason to be upset with Marvel. I think that the fact that they did, as you said, bamboozle us, I think that is like a good word for it. And I don't think it's the people in charge now, I don't think it's their fault, because I think what happened is Disney pushed on, and you know, this is all speculation, but I think that like Disney was probably like, we're gonna make shows, and Kevin Feige and his crew were like, well, we're making movies, you can do whatever you want, I guess. But they weren't really involved, it seems. They just sort of let the shows happen, and then so it's not the creative people's fault that happened, but now those creative people are not wanting to be stuck to the canon that was created. Now, we don't know. Maybe they won't break canon. So far, they really haven't broken canon. Everything's sort of headcanonable as of now.
So far.
But it's very possible they might just completely change the origins of some of these characters when they decide to reboot them. Like, they could have a completely different Cloak and Dagger in 5 years or something like that, and that will be annoying to me. But, I'm mad at the sort of conglomerate nature of... I'm mad that we were misled. But as for being upset that there's a break in content... for our podcast sake, that makes me sad, because I really like having stuff to talk about and content to banter about. But I kind of think it's important to have a little bit of break after Endgame, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
They could have done something. It would have been nice to do something small.
I mean, you could say that Spider-Man Far From Home was a bit on the small side, but still, just like having that and having that, the way that... the way that I described it when it first came out, when we were first talking about it, is that it felt like that first breath of fresh air after, you know, a really, really emotional time, like a big cry or whatever. Yeah. And having that kind of break after such, you know, incredibly emotional, gut-wrenching scenes, so to speak.
Yeah.
That we're going to talk more about tomorrow. The having that break is kind of necessary, you know. It gives us time to heal, and it would almost sell the enormity of Endgame short if we went straight into the next phase.
I agree with that, and I also think, I don't know, I'm of two minds. Part of me thinks it's selfish on their part because they are giving us, they're basically controlling scarcity so that we want their thing more, because if we got another thing, eventually this stuff will burn out. Eventually every type of movie burns out, and what Disney is trying to do is control that and make sure it doesn't. By having a break for almost a year, it gives us this desire to see the next thing. I'm really excited about Black Widow. If Black Widow, the movie, had come out in November or whatever, and like a normal Marvel schedule, I mean, I would have been excited, but I can see a lot of people who would have been like, well, we just watched the biggest movie of all time. Like, I don't really care about Black Widow. But now that it's a year later, it really does feel more exciting to me, even me. And I think they're trying to... I'm upset at them because it feels like they're controlling scarcity, but then I also am applauding their self-restraint, because they could make another $1 billion by dropping Black Widow faster, but instead they're choosing not to make an extra $1 billion this year so that they can increase the longevity of the series. So I think they're probably... Joss Whedon talked about Buffy the Vampire Slayer back in the day, and they were talking to him about how everybody always dies and stuff. And he said, "I don't give the fans what they want. I give the fans what they need." And it's like, you got to give them what they need to really go through. And that's interesting. And he was talking narratively, but I think in this case, they might be giving us what we need. I think this break might be necessary to, for one thing, the TV division, which is a lot of what fills in these gaps, they're having to create from scratch. Like, they're starting a new TV division, and I think they're trying to start it in a new, more connected way. So I think this might be more what we want than we've ever gotten before. So that's exciting. That's really exciting.
Yeah. And, you know, if you look at it historically, between each phase, there has been a year or almost a year gap between the end of one phase and the beginning of the next. So, I mean, this goes right in line with what has already been established. And it honestly, in your mind, it kind of cements that, you know, this is the end of the phase. It's going to take a minute to start the next one.
Yeah. And I think what Rico's saying is, it's annoying that now, since this content is no longer canon, the stuff like Runaways and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. doesn't feel as connected because we kind of know it's not going to be. We're kind of presuming at this point it won't be very connected going forward. Like, we're probably never going to see these characters again. And it's not like Daredevil's likely to show up in a movie, da-da-da-da-da. But maybe, you never know. I just think they did such a good job with certain parts of these shows that Marvel's wasting an asset by not including them in the universe, particularly the Defenders. And by that, I mostly mean Daredevil.
Did you see that that meme that somebody posted in the MCU cast chat?
Yes.
Over the past week or so? Doctor Strange is asking, is that everyone? And then Matt's like, is there a draft? Is there a window open in here?
It's it during Endgame's last battle. All the windows are open, and he says, is that everyone? Talking about all the heroes joining the battle, and it cuts to Matt, Daredevil, inside his apartment when there's a little window open, and he's like, Karen, is there a window open or something in here? And yeah, it's pretty
funny. You gotta imagine how crazy that must seem or feel to Matt Murdock, having a portal open like that. Because, oh, you know, he sees and hears, or, well, not sees, but, you know, he hears and feels the world around him. But then something like that that's just, like, abruptly wrong, yeah, as far as we understand it, happens. And, like, how do you justify that?
He would not understand what was going on, for sure, at first. Although maybe he would just... He sees with his ears as well as we see with our eyes, it seems. So it's very likely he would just, like, completely understand what was going on.
Yeah, like, oh, that's a portal. He's like, okay.
I've been fighting mystical creatures for my entire life. I got this.
It's fine. What could go wrong?
Yeah.
Anyway, so let's see. Next up, we got Jordan Metro saying, hey guys, first off, I just want to say you should absolutely do a review of the X-Men movies. I just watched Dark Phoenix and I'm hoping to hear your thoughts on it. It wasn't as bad as I expected, but definitely not good. Also, who would you foresee on a rebooted X-Men team in the MCU? You've said a few times that you want to see some fresh faces on the team. Just wondering who you have in mind. Love the podcast. Keep doing what you're doing. Thanks.
Oh, man. We have gone over this a lot with the X-Men. I don't have anybody off the top of my head right now.
Bill Murray.
Bill Murray. Let's just go with Bill Murray, our old standby.
In literally every role.
Yep, every role. Bill Murray, a Bill Murray X-Men. You know, they let Joaquin Phoenix make a Joker movie that's completely disconnected. I think they should let Bill Murray make an X-Men movie that's completely disconnected from everything else. It's just Bill Murray.
No, I want it to be canon.
Okay, that sounds good too.
But it's in one of the alternate universes.
Yeah. I honestly don't have any ideas. We'd have to really give this a lot of thought, because I think my biggest problem with thinking of these fresh face people, I think they will. I don't necessarily want fresh faces. I just think they will do fresh faces because they want, well, for one thing, to control the budgets. I mean, if you think about the people they cast, other than Robert Downey Jr., most everyone wasn't that big of an actor. Benedict Cumberbatch. You're talking about maybe.
In the chief roles.
Yeah, and all, yeah. And most of the chief roles they give to lesser named actors, but also I think they want younger people, and I don't know many younger actors. I'm trying to keep up with other TV. We're starting other podcasts to try to expand what I'm watching. That's part of why I'm doing that.
That's the only reason that you start a new podcast, is so that you can watch other stuff too.
Well, yeah, give me motivation to watch other things, you know?
All right, we're gonna start a Desperate Housewives podcast.
New lady for Sue Storm, if they do a period piece. The lady who plays Mrs. Maisel. I've been watching that. That's real good.
Okay. I still, you know, honestly, for Fantastic Four, I still like John Krasinski and Emily Blunt.
Oh, me too.
That would be awesome.
Me too. I really like John Krasinski a lot. He's been on that Jack Ryan show. I think he's really good actor, but he's also funny. He's also, he can be kind of stern and a jerk. I think he'd be great. I don't know Emily Blunt as well, but I know they work well together, supposedly. I still haven't seen the one they're he directed. Married. With them in it. Have you seen the one about the horror movie about the silence or whatever?
No.
I need to see that. By the way, Jordan Metro in his feedback here mentions our X-Men movies cast. Let's give a little more details about what we're thinking there. We've got a new podcast we're working on that we're developing. We're hoping to start recording on it very soon, and it will probably release in February. But the cast is basically, we're going to be covering movies in theaters that have a past of sequels. And so it's really a fun idea. So we're thinking the first one we're going to cover is X-Men, because we're big Marvel guys and we haven't even seen all the X-Men movies because we've been so busy with the MCU. So we're going to go back and watch all the X-Men movies before the final one comes out, which is New Mutants, which comes out in April. So, but then after that, me and Jeff and other hosts are going to take on other series. Someone asked us, I think Nathaniel Muzzy asked us about Ghostbusters. They were like, he's like, can you start the Ghostbusters Cinematic Universe podcast? And I said, well, we're kind of doing that. And I know that sounds like a joke, but it's not fully a joke, because we are going to cover Ghostbusters next year. Bill and Ted's coming out next year. So we're going to have like a lot of really fun properties that we're going to cover from the ground up and do all the movies. And I am pumped about it.
Yep.
We're going to do it. Me and Jeff are going to cover some of them. And then we're going to possibly even hand the baton completely to other hosts for certain series. But yeah, it sounds like a really cool, interesting show.
It's like a rewatch run up kind of thing.
Yeah.
Leading up to a new movie.
Yeah.
Or leading up to a new movie in a verse or in a series.
It's going to be a cool expansion of our Stranded Panda podcast network.
Yeah. Woo. Do we even have a name for it yet?
I wasn't announcing it yet.
Okay. Cause I really want to keep putting my hat on the rewatchman. I just really like it.
That's funny. That's funny that you said that. We're considering calling the series that we're about to do in our Watchmen, Who Watched the Watchmen podcast. The Watchmen, we're doing the Who Watched the Watchmen podcast. I've been watching that with my buddy from the DC On Screen podcast, Jason, and we also had our guest host, Josh, last week, and that show is maybe the best show I've ever seen.
Okay.
Like, I say that 100% knowing how silly it sounds. I think it might be the best show I've ever seen. It is so intricate. It is so cool. It is so connected to the original comic. They have weaved the storyline in such a way that makes me care about so many different characters. I still don't really understand what's going on in the mystery part of it. It lays enough of the mystery out that you can make certain calls that like really made me feel good about myself. And when certain things happen, I was like, oh shit. And so it has that sort of great mystery element where they put certain things right in front of you and try, and you have to really solve them. You know, I loved it, man. It has been amazing. I'm 100%. It ends this week and I am beside myself with excitement about, the ending and what's going to happen. And on top of being so connected to the comic and having such great episodes, they've put out an entire website devoted to it that is external materials that are canon. Like, you can read letters from certain characters to other characters. There's an FBI agent named Agent Petey in the show, and they have a thing called Petypedia. So if you're the kind of nerd that likes to dig into stuff like that...
Which I am.
Oh, man. You can, like, watch an episode and then go, like, basically read three or four articles about things that are going on in the world that you don't know about, as kind of like living the life of Agent Petey as he's doing like background research on the different characters and stuff.
That's awesome.
It is amazing. It is really, really amazing. I'm really hoping it gets a season two because it is blowing my effing mind.
You know, I had mentioned this kind of thing as being a possibility when I was talking to co-workers at my new job, basically saying, like, the Watchmen, I didn't like the Watchmen movie because they, you know, Zack Snyder trying to shove the entire comic onto the screen when it doesn't translate that way. It's, you know, it doesn't easily translate to a movie. Like, you bored me to tears by putting every frame up there. If you were to do it as a series, you could take your time and build the story and develop the characters and make me care about everybody and why everybody feels the way they do. Like, I had hope for it because of that. And that, from what you're saying, I was right to have hope for it.
Yeah, well, and so, you know, it's not...
I need to go watch it.
It's not a remake of Watchmen.
Yeah,
it's a sequel series. So it is. But what's so cool is it's a sequel series from the comic. So if you haven't read the comic, I do think the movie does a good job of catching you up on what the basic plot lines. There's a couple major changes to the plot line. The squid being one of them. They leave the squid out if you've read the comic book. But so if you get to squids in the show and you've only seen the movie and you're like, what the fuck are the squids about? You kind of have to read about what's going on in the movie. But we talk about that on a podcast, actually. So if you're interested, check it all out. It's great. It is so great. Oh, the whole reason I brought that up, you talked about calling it the Rewatchmen. We've been talking about rewatching the entire series in the context of knowing how it ends. And calling those episodes the Rewatchmen.
Oh, man.
But, you know, that's two different things. One's just an episode run, and one could be a show.
Theft.
Theft. Yeah, you're probably right. Probably seeped in my subconscious.
You're stealing my ideas.
Key.
Anyway, I guess we can move on.
Yeah.
After harping on the upcoming podcast for a little bit. Let's see. Gavin Fry said, hello there. I have a few thoughts of what the Black Widow will truly be. So, to start off, this happens between Civil War and Infinity War, and the plot is of her running from the government, aka Ross. And Taskmaster is actually an agent sent by the government to, quote-unquote, teach her a lesson. She then leaves the U.S., and Agent Ross visits her, and this is where I think the voiceover of I heard you had to leave in a hurry will come from. Then she goes to her family for help. Another thing that I'm thinking is that in one of the shots in the trailer, Ross has clearly had CGI done on his face to look younger, and there's a voiceover of him saying, I heard you had to leave in a hurry. I think that's a flashback, and it's going to tell us that when Nat originally went rogue, they sent Ross and Taskmaster there to collect her, but they were unsuccessful. And as I said, the voiceover is not actually part of that flashback. Anyway, sorry if this has some errors in it, and also sorry for this being so long. Love you guys, 3000. Oh, also, I can't find the Star Wars Universe podcast in Spotify. Do you know where that might be, Matt? Thanks for the read, Gavin.
Oh, as for the Star Wars Universe podcast, sometimes certain ones of the whatever the podcast catchers take a little longer to load up. So he just got on iTunes, I think, with the Star Wars Universe podcast, and I think he'll be on the others probably in short order. Generally, the ones on iTunes kind of slowly disseminate to all the other ones because I think the other ones reference iTunes in some way. Or you can submit, but there's like 150 different podcatchers, and so submitting to all of them is kind of insane.
Tedious.
It's super tedious. Like, we're thinking about changing the way we do our feed here. And if we do that, we're going to have to probably resubmit to a lot of things. And I'm super annoyed at the idea. So we'll talk to you guys more about that if it happens. But yeah, as of Civil War, I think that is as good a thoughts as any on how this is structured.
Yeah, I don't know that that Ross is going to necessarily show up in present day, but I mean, he does seem to kind of be leading up the task force, so to speak. And yeah, we saw what looked like Cape Killers in the trailer. So I mean, we could well see, you know, Ross all over the place.
Yeah, I don't think he'll show up in Budapest. Maybe he won't show up in Budapest, but he is probably responsible for sending the Cape Killers. So it's likely that he's involved in the main timeline or whatever.
Or the current. Because we're assuming that there's going to be a whole lot of flashbacks and, you know, maybe some things out of time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, that would be super cool.
Yeah, man. Anyway, I'm super pumped. I feel like they could have told us this story of Black Widow all along, but having it have the weight of her recent passing really gives this movie a certain air of excitement for me. I'm pumped about it.
Yep. So let's see. Next up, Anthony J.
Fuchs. Yep, I'm pretty sure that's Fuchs.
All right, so Anthony J. Fox says, outlandish, almost certainly incorrect theory. The big reveal of Black Widow will be that Natasha Romanoff was a clone all along. She was created in 1984 from DNA that the Red Room had from a World War II era widow named Natalia Romanovna, who disappeared in the early 1980s, who will be revealed to be alive in this movie, but still youngish because she volunteered for experimentation similar to Steve Rogers and also be played by Scarlett Johansson.
What do you think?
I think it's absolutely ridiculous.
It is. It's outlandish and ridiculous.
It's outlandish.
But let's talk about it like it's not for a minute. And how much fun would it be for an old, like to have going forward in the universe, Old Man Nat and Old Man Cap as like
I don't want Nat friends. To be a man.
That's true. Old lady Nat and Old Man Cap as like old, we used to do this, friends, who could go to for advice. I think I joked
back in my day
in our MCU cast chat group, I joked that they could have like a Odd Couple style roommate show.
Ah, that would be so good.
Yeah, man. Sounds fun.
No. Instead of the Golden Girls, we have the Golden Age, and it's them in a Golden Girls style TV show.
Yeah, that could be pretty good. Who else is old though? We need a who would be what's Estelle Getty's character's name? Is it Rose? No, Rose is the other one. Rose is Betty White. I don't know enough about Golden Girls. Or I know too much. I'm not sure. I'm not sure what's hampering me here. All right, what's David Pendergrass have to say?
Yeah, we're moving on. Not even going to touch it. Did anyone notice the prep punch Red Guardian does in the trailer? Very similar to Daredevil when prepping for a fist fight.
I wonder if that means that Red Guardian's a boxer.
He looks like a brawler, just in general.
Yeah, I just think about, you know, that's probably where Daredevil learned that prep punch.
Yeah, it's from Red Guardian, specifically.
No, being a boxer, being like in the ring, right? You know, shadow boxing in the ring before you go toe-to-toe or whatever. So, with his dad being a boxer and everything. So, you know, I wonder if Red Guardian also has a boxing background.
Or he might.
Or he trained Daredevil. That's also possible.
Yeah, that's the one. He trained Daredevil.
Yeah, let's go there.
And that's why Daredevil's suit is red, because, you know, Red Guardian.
Yeah, he's the Red Daredevil. Red Guardian Daredevil.
Yeah.
I dig it.
That completely tracks. You know, it would be really funny if Red Guardian was never actually a fighter. Like, if he was just a public face and has no fighting background.
That would be pretty funny, actually. I don't think that's the case because they have him like fighting Taskmaster, and I think he'd probably just die if he didn't have skills immediately. But it would be pretty funny if he was just like he was the face of the like Red Room kind of thing, and he's like some political figure, but he, and then when the Red Room was being exterminated, he like fought to save a few people, who save who he could, you know, and he saved these two young girls. Yeah. And yep. then he has to actually fight for them. He was just a political figure who like helped them escape. But now he has to actually
fight for them. Yeah, and that's what got him imprisoned.
Yeah, oh, I didn't realize he was imprisoned.
Yeah.
Cool.
Don't you remember at the end of Stranger Things?
Oh, okay. Right.
Nah, there's a point where it looks like he was probably in that gulag that we saw the door get blown off of, or blown, I guess, out into.
Yeah. I don't know. I actually really love that, the idea that he's not a fighter. Like, that's just, it's a very Steve Rogers thing. Like, if he's not a fighter, him standing up to Red Guardian is a very, like, Steve Rogers moment. And I really love that idea.
Oh, him standing up to the Taskmaster?
Yeah, maybe? That's what I meant. Sorry.
Yeah. I just came up with that theory, and I'm going to go ahead and sell it as the gospel now.
Yeah, it's a good theory. I think that actor would play that really well, and it would make him so endearing. It's a really fun theory. Like the whole Red Guardian suit thing, if it's just like he fits in his old suit, but it's really just has been something he's always worn to like press junkets and stuff, like talking about his, you know, his exploits, but really he was like, maybe he's the response. He was like a response to the Captain America sort of propaganda. They needed something similar. So they didn't have the super soldier, so they just made Red Guardian as like their response to Captain America. I love that. That's a really fun theory.
That's that's kind of the way that, you know, things went during the Cold War. Is it was just a bunch of posturing, right? Captain America. Yeah, to some degree. But Captain America from the USO shows, and then like the USO shows are going on, Captain America's there being all like face of the military. It would be so funny to have Russia be like, no, yeah, we got one of those. Yeah, nah, we got the Red Guardian guy. Who, do we have a Red Guardian guy? Yeah, we have, get a suit on him. I don't know why they're kind of New Yorker style. Yeah, Russians.
Weirdly New York Russians, but.
But yeah, it tracks.
Totally tracks.
Totally. Let's see. Next up, Tyson Trujillo. Trujillo? I don't know. The J is thrown me. I'm sorry. Tyson, new member to our MCU cast chat, says, hey guys, new listener here. Love the show so far. I even gone back all the way to your Infinity War podcast and listened to almost all of them since then. I got a couple of theories for Spider-Man 3. JJ gets the Scorpion his suit so that he can hunt Spidey, but it goes wrong and he can't get the suit off. So instead of going after Spidey, he tries to kill JJ, and Spider-Man has to save JJ to clear his name. Next, what if Spidey gets sucked into the Multiverse of Madness, and that's how he gets to meet all of the Sonyverse characters like Venom, Carnage, even Madame Web? Perfect way to get the live-action Spideyverse in the works.
Hmm. Yeah. I love the idea of them doing multiverse stuff for Spider-Man, especially to bring in the Sony world. For one thing, it'd be great because freaking Spider-Verse was so well received. Bringing that element into the MCU would be awesome, but I think they're going to try to keep it grounded to one universe. I do. I think they're going to pretend the Sony stuff is happening in our universe.
I don't know, man. If they can't work out some sort of long-lasting deal rather than just these next couple of movies, mm-hmm. I think that Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness would be the perfect spot to lose Spider-Man to the other verse.
Mm. Yeah, oh, for sure. Well, except that happens before Spider-Man, right? 3?
I think so.
Yeah, so, but the events of Multiverse of Madness could open up the idea that we're getting... you know, more we're getting more universes, and that Spider-Man's other foes like Venom and Morbius could all exist over there. As for JJ getting the Scorpionist suit, I think we're getting a lot of villains in this next Spider-Man movie because I think he has made enough enemies. We know he's made an enemy of the Vulture, kind of. We know he's made an enemy of Team Mysterio. We know he's made an enemy of Scorpion. Who else we got on the table for a Spider-Man 3? Like, I think they're going to do a Sinister Six. I think they're going to do some version of the Sinister Six storyline. Because his name is out there. I think there's going to be people after him. And I think if they just added, we know we have the Tinkerer, right? That's the name of the Vulture's.
Yeah.
Because I could absolutely see a world where the Tinkerer, Vulture somehow gets out of prison and he goes back to his old pal, the Tinker, and the Tinker's kind of like become a villain in his own right. So yeah, I don't know. There could be a lot of stuff. There could be. I think they're going to do a Sinister Six. I just don't know who the six will be yet. Because they've already got three or four of them established. If they just establish one or two more, they could have a Sinister Six.
We've already got Mysterio and Vulture. We don't have Sandman, Electro, Hobgoblin, or Doc Ock.
We do have Electro, right?
No, we have Shocker.
Okay, sorry. I get those confused.
Yeah, well, their names are similar.
Their names and powers and all that. Well, I don't think they have to do the classic Sinister Six. I think they could easily... they could pick six villains and call it the Sinister Six, and it'd be a thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's just another one, though. Shocker could be one of the Sinister Six in this version. And if you include him, that's five. We just need one more. So you establish the power, Scorpion getting his powers, and then you establish one other villain who kind of completes the six-fecta or whatever. And then you got yourself a Sinister Six. I think that's happening. I think something like that's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of laid out all in front of them. Yeah. Real easy, like.
Mm-hmm. Real easy, like.
Yeah. Just, the road's there. You just got to step on it.
Yeah. All right. Well, guys, thank you so much for writing in all the feedback this week. We'll be back. Actually, real soon, we got another episode planned to record today. We're going to cover some of this Disney Plus deleted scenes that we haven't really gotten a chance to look at. So, yeah, we'll be back very soon. Peace.
Until next time, true believers.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.